Welcome again to By Grace Community Church. My name is Matt Hausman. I'm one of the elders here at By Grace. I had the opportunity to preach here just a few weeks ago at the Christmas holiday. In God's providence, I'm back here preaching again much earlier than I had planned. We'd ask that you pray for Pastor Kevin, pray that he would recover quickly and get back to preaching. I know he loves to do it. And ask that you pray for all those in our community that are still affected by sickness. I know that we all long to gather together as a community and worship our Lord. When I preached back the day after Christmas, I asked the question, who is this child, Jesus, that we celebrate every year? And through that sermon, we saw that he was our God and our creator, that all things were created in heaven and on earth through Jesus and for Jesus. We saw that he humbled himself. He gave up the glory and majesty that are rightly his as our creator and came down to earth as a child, as a piece, as a person in his creation. And we saw that he is and always will be king, not just king of the Jews, but king of all creation. And he had his army of angels there the night he was born. And so today we're going to talk about that story, the story of Jesus, of him coming to earth, living his perfect life, his sacrifice for the sins, and the hope that we have for him in him. And that story, we have a name for it, and we call that the gospel. And that is the focus of our sermon this morning. Now, the gospel is not just any story. I would submit that it is the most important story that has ever been told. And it's meant to be told at all times, in all seasons. And it's more than just a story. Paul tells us in Romans 1:16 something very important about the gospel. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We know that it is the only reason that we are here today sitting in this room. Lord, the gospel is a story that is meant to be shared, and it has been shared through many generations. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to join in with your church through the ages and continuing to share the message of Jesus. Lord, we pray that we would be faithful and we would be encouraged to do so. In Jesus' name. So Paul starts this statement with the phrase, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." And while I've read Romans many times and haven't really done a super in-depth study, I don't have a good answer for why he starts with that phrase. But I do know what that phrase makes me ask. It makes me ask the question, am I ashamed of the gospel? Now that's an important question for us to consider, and we're going to come back to it in a moment. But let's talk about the gospel itself for a moment. In some ways, it's a story, and a story is just a collection of words. Many times, stories teach a message. In this case, the gospel, it can be given in a variety of forms. It can be given through pictures, through song. Here at By Grace, we have a simple approach to sharing the gospel that we've taught over the years as part of the communicants class, and I thought I would give that to you this morning. So when we talk about the gospel in the communicants class, we talk about it in four ways. We talk about it as creation, fall, redemption, and new creation. I can give you those one more time. Creation, fall, redemption, and new creation. Now, this is a pattern that we can use, and as we talk through it, with the kids in the communicants class, we'll talk about creation as God creating the heavens and the earth, the heavens, the stars in the sky, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, everything that crawls upon the earth. God created it all. And then he created Adam in his own image and Eve to be his helper. And God declared his creation very good. And as good as that creation was, we then have to talk about the fall. We talk about Adam and Eve there in the garden, breaking the one command that they had been given to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in doing so, they brought sin into the world. And with sin came death, came sickness. All the troubles and trials that we experience in our lives come from that first fall there in the garden. And as hard as the fall is, we then get to talk about redemption. We get to talk about Jesus coming down to his creation, living the life that he lived, the life that was free from sin, and sacrificing his own blood to offer redemption to those who would trust in him. And as good as it is to talk about Jesus, we get to talk about our eternal hope, the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth, the one that we long for, where there will be no sickness, there will be no more death. Cancer and COVID will be things long past, and we will be there with our Lord and with our Savior, and we will worship him. How we long for that day. This is a simple way to share the truth of the gospel. It's not the only way, but it's a pattern that I remembered, and I hope you will remember as well. The key thing is, whether this gospel was spoken in English or Spanish, French or German, Greek or some language that I don't even the name of, this is more than just words. This story is the power of God for salvation to all who would believe. The language and the format have no bearing on the power that it possesses. It is the work of the Holy Spirit who changes the heart and brings faith. Now here at By Grace, we have a high view of the Bible. We love the scripture. You've seen that this morning. Scripture's been all throughout our service. I think I have something like 17 verse references this morning. We love the Bible. It is in our homes. It's in our lives. It's in our worship. We have a high view of prayer, and we're focusing on prayer this year as we try to grow in praying together. But when it comes to the gospel, I think if we're honest, sometimes the gospel stays a little behind the scenes. We're back now to Paul's statement, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know that we talk about it in our homes. We talk about it in our community, our church community. And those are good things, things that should be happened. There are things that should happen. But this message was a message that was meant to be shared and meant to be shared much broader than just those instances. I don't want to point fingers this morning because if I was honest, I would have to point it at myself. It's not looking to create shame in anybody's heart, but I want to encourage us to have the same high view of the gospel as we have for the scripture. This message was given to us to share. The gospel, it is not empty words. It's not a myth. It is the power of God for salvation. Now, yes, this salvation work requires the work of the Holy Spirit. And so my question to you this morning is, how do you think about the gospel? How should you think about the gospel? So I'm going to go through a few things I think are relevant. We're going to start this morning in Romans 3, verses 23 and 24. Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." A moment ago, we were talking about the fall, and here Paul is reminding us of the global impact of that fall. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one alive today. In fact, in all of history, there's only one person who has ever been able to enter heaven on their own merit. And that is Jesus. But despite all the failures, despite the effects of the fall, Christ came and offers redemption and grace. As God's grace is a gift to those who will be justified by the blood of Christ, so too the message that brings that salvation is a gift. The gospel is a gift. But let's talk about what type of gift it is, because there's different types of gifts. If you can imagine yourself for just a moment to be a young child up bright and early on a Christmas morning, you rush downstairs, see a pile of brightly wrapped presents, and with your parents' permission, of course, you take the biggest present and open it quickly, tearing into the paper and perhaps being stopped for just a moment by a well-placed piece of tape, you get to the contents, and you find a pair of socks. Or if you were my family and somebody was trying to be even funnier, you might just find one sock and its match is hidden somewhere else. That's not the gift that the gospel is. The gospel is a gift whose foundation was laid before the creation of the world. It was built by Jesus as he walked this earth, day by day, hour by hour, second by second, in each moment, at each temptation where he rejected sin, he pursued holiness and was perfectly obedient to his Father. Jesus did all that his Father asked of him, and in doing so, he secured salvation for his people. This gift was finished as Jesus step by step carried his cross up the hill, and he sealed it with his final breath. This is an enormous gift, one that cost our Creator his life, but we must know that it was a price that he willingly paid. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So what was the joy that was set before him? I think it was eternity. Eternity with the people that he chose to love. He chose to love the fallen creatures of his creation, and he willingly paid his own blood to meet the demands of the law and to save his people. Jesus' blood on the cross is a gift to those he loves. The gospel tells of that gift, and it is the best gift that you have ever been given, and it is the best gift you can ever give to another person. So how else should we think about the gospel? Colossians 1:13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Paul here is writing to the Colossian church. And right before this passage, he's telling them of all that he prays for them as they have begun to follow Christ. And in this passage, he is telling them of the impact of the gospel in their lives. Through the gospel, they have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the beloved Son. The kingdom of the beloved Son is the kingdom of heaven. And as you think about the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, and we go back to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus told a couple of parables about the kingdom of heaven and what the value of that kingdom was. So we're going to look at those this morning. Matthew 13:44, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Likewise, just two verses, or the next two verses, Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Let's look at these passages for a moment. In both cases, the person is searching. In the first, the treasure is found. Now, if you think about it, you just don't stumble on a treasure walking through a field. You search. You dig. It's hard work with a pick and a shovel. A long search. But after that long search, he finds what he's looking for. And he gives all that he has in order to possess this treasure. In the second parable, the merchant searching for pearls, you can imagine him traveling from port to port, looking at pearls, examining each one, and finding a flaw in it. He discards it and continues his search. It wasn't the one. But in the end, he finds that perfect pearl, and giving all that he has, he purchases it. The gospel brings those searching for the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of heaven. And if the kingdom is a treasure of great value that is worth all that you own, then the message that brings you into the kingdom should also be treasured. To those seeking the kingdom, they will hear with great joy the message of salvation. They will have found what they seek. Think back for a moment to your early days as a believer. For some, this may not be a memory. If you came from a faithful household, if you grew up in the church, you may never have experienced this time, but I hope that you've seen it. For the first few days, the first months, as a new believer, everything is different. You long to have more time to dig into the scripture. You're thrilled to share this new love of yours with all those who are around you. You treasure the gift that you have received and all that it will mean in your life. The gospel is a treasure. Its value is equal to its power to change the hearts and minds of those who hear it. But it requires the Holy Spirit's work. And without that work, the hidden treasure is a waste of time. And the pearl of great price is just another round ball that should be discarded. But for those who hear the gospel and respond in spirit-wrought faith, the value is all that they have, all that they could ever have. The gospel is a treasure, and it's a treasure that is meant to be shared. We've seen the gospel as a gift, and we've seen it's a treasure. But what does it bring? 1 second. All right, John 8, 31 through 36. Thank you. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you can say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free. Now, as Jesus spoke these words, it was not clear to his audience what he spoke of. They were unaware of their slavery to sin. But that is something that Jesus saw clearly. If we think about these words spoken so long ago, but we look around at our culture, we would say that many people today in our generation do not see their slavery to sin. If people have rejected the very existence of God, then it would be impossible for them to see that they are living outside of God's will. Paul wrote of this reality in Romans 1, 18 and 20. Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his external power, eternal power, and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." The truth that God exists has been revealed through his creation, and God's attributes and his divine nature are understandable to all. And yet, that truth is suppressed by many in the culture around us. So how does the gospel interact in a culture that denies the very existence of God? It is the truth. And as Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth of the gospel received in faith brings freedom. And those who hear it and receive it in faith are no longer slaves to sin. But that's not all that will change. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, Paul writes these words. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Well, I think we can look at this passage and say there are elements of it that are true today. We can't say that Paul was specifically writing about the times that we are living in. But I know that we know or have heard of people who fit in these descriptions. But I really want to focus on one key phrase: burdened with sin. How many of you remember the burden of sin? Perhaps, though you know the gospel, you still feel that burden today. Let me remind you, the gospel brings forgiveness. We looked at Colossians 1 a little bit ago, but I'm going to reference it again here, starting in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you have received the gospel in faith, the forgiveness of Christ is already yours. The burden of sin that you carry has been taken by the one who has rescued you. How much more do those around us need to know the forgiveness found in Jesus Christ? They carry heavy burdens from years of living with sin. And speaking of burdens, Jesus told us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The gospel brings freedom from slavery to sin. It brings forgiveness, removing the heavy burden that sin places upon us. It also brings those who receive it in faith into the family of God. In Colossians 1:12 that we read just a moment ago, we see the word inheritance. Now you think about inheritance. Inheritance is a family word. You don't inherit from strangers. Not normally. You inherit from family. Maybe some uncle you've never met, grandfather. How much does our culture long for family? And Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 wrote these words. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. The gospel brings those who long for it into the family of God. And while we've talked about freedom and forgiveness and family for some good alliteration, if I were to use the theological terms, the gospel brings sanctification, freedom from slavery to sin, and the ability to act in a way that is pleasing to God. It brings justification, forgiveness from the penalty of sin in the courtroom of heaven. And it brings adoption as sons of God and into the family of God. And while we've seen the gospel is a gift and the gospel is a treasure, and we've seen the effects of the gospel, there's one more thing that we have to discuss, and that is that the gospel is a responsibility. We're going to read now from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And while Jesus uses the word make disciples here, I would argue that faith is the first step to making a disciple. In order to make a disciple, you must first share the gospel and have it received in faith. But Jesus is clear with his instruction to his disciples. They are to spread the gospel to the nations. But the view is not just for those disciples, those 11 from so long ago. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes to Timothy, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." These things that Paul references, taught in the presence of many witnesses, certainly includes the gospel. And we should see here that Paul's instruction has the idea in it of spiritual generations. Those who Timothy teaches, the message that Paul has shared, will continue to share that message, and the gospel will go forth through the nations, generation by generation, even to us 2,000 years later, and if we are faithful, to our children and our children's children after them. Peter adds to this idea in 1 Peter chapter 2. This is verses 4 and 5. And we're catching in the middle of a thought, but it says, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." As Christ builds the church, its people are a holy priesthood. And that is all of us. All of us. The responsibility to share the gospel is common to all believers. It's not just pastors and elders and deacons. All those who follow Christ can and should participate in sharing the gospel. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them." I'm certain that some of the good works that Paul has in mind in here include sharing the gospel. Sure, that's not all, but it is a key piece of what it means for us to faithfully serve our Lord and Savior. And so we've seen this morning the gospel is a gift. We've seen that it is a treasure with the power to bring freedom and forgiveness and adoption into God's family. Sharing that message, that powerful message, is a responsibility for all who follow Christ. I asked at the beginning of the sermon, how do you think about the gospel? And now I ask, is the gospel precious to you? Now we need to define precious, because I don't mean in the sense of Gollum, the wiry creature from Lord of the Rings, who longed for his precious, his ring. I mean precious in a different way. Perhaps in the way a young woman has received an engagement ring from a man that she loves, and one that loves her well. She glows as she shows all her family, all her friends, even complete strangers, and recounts for them the tale of how that ring was given to her, how they met, the plans they have for the future. She spends her day dreaming and longing for that new life that is coming soon. She counts the days and maybe even the hours until the wedding. That is the preciousness of the gospel. That is what it should mean in our hearts and in our minds every day. And as I come to a close, I must remind us that in Ephesians 5, Paul teaches that the church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5, 29-32. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. And now he's quoting from Genesis. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then his comment about that quote, this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. And if we, the church, are the bride of Christ, then I think we should consider the gospel that ring on our finger. And we should be excited to tell anyone who will listen the story of how we have been found, to share how greatly we have been loved, to share how much we look forward to the new life that is waiting for us with the one with whom we long to be. May he come soon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for our ability to know the gospel. Thank you for faith and sending the Holy Spirit to change hearts and minds. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to participate in the expansion of your gospel or your kingdom through sharing the gospel. Lord, we would pray that we would do so with faith and with obedience, for we are your people and we long for the day when we can be with you. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus.